It has been a year since President Trump was elected. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. In the year since President Trump was elected, the Dow has risen 28.5%. That is the largest post-election yearly rise since 1945. Second best in that period was the year after Bill Clinton was elected, when the Dow rose 26.5%. Joining me now is Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Susan, the president says this rise is thanks in large part to him. What do you say?
It's difficult to say that it is specifically due to President Trump, because normally when presidents come into office, they're inheriting an economic cycle that has been set up before them several years ago, not just in the last 12 months, that are continuing to carry through. And we're seeing that reflected in the market right now.
Right. Well, then what is it? What are those driving factors that are making this market so buoyant?
Companies throughout our recovery since that recession have shown an ability to generate growth, operate more efficiently, and that still continues. This recovery has not been as sharp a recovery, but that means that it also has been more extended. And so we continue to see that positive growth and positive earnings metrics from companies and also from the economy overall. Confidence is high. Industrial activity indicators are very high. The economic data continues to be supportive and strong of continued growth.
Meanwhile, we are in the midst of very uncertain, very unpredictable congressional negotiations over the tax bill. You know, things like the deductions for state and local taxes or the mortgage deduction, those can, I imagine, affect consumer spending. So what does that mean for markets? It's got to be hard to make any bets at this point.
There's a lot of optimism and exuberance as we think about how this could boost our productivity, how this could boost GDP. However, at the same time, there are a lot of uncertainties here. As this week is showing, we have to remember it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of negotiation, and a lot of different parties have to agree to get this done. So it's, I think, going to cause some more volatility in the market. Just be prepared.
All right. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
IRS Commissioner John Koskinen is reportedly stepping down, possibly as soon as tomorrow. His departure comes at a critical time. The IRS is underfunded and understaffed, just as Congress is gearing up to pass a massive tax overhaul. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the story.
The IRS's budget has been cut by 18% over the past 7 years, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. The center's David Reich.
We have had a multi-year squeeze, really starting back in 2010, on the IRS budget.
The IRS also lost thousands of workers during that time. So if the tax overhaul becomes law, there will be fewer people to write the rules needed to implement it. Alan Auerbach teaches economics and law at Berkeley.
A big change in the tax law means a lot of new provisions, ironing out rules, having new regulations.
And Auerbach says there are also some new write-offs in the tax bill, and the IRS would have fewer auditors around to make sure they're not abused, which could lead to more tax fraud. And the cuts could keep coming. The Trump administration's 2018 budget would reduce IRS funding by more than $200 million. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Britain has a little less than a year and a half until it is scheduled to finally leave the European Union. But the discussions with the EU over the terms of that separation and what the EU-UK trading relationship might look like in the future, all that is very much bogged down. Some business leaders are getting nervous. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Former New York City mayor and media mogul Michael Bloomberg opened his shiny new European HQ in London recently, and while he was at it, told the Brits what he thought of their decision to leave the European Union.
It was not a smart thing to do, and getting out of it is going to be very difficult and it'll be very painful.
And he wondered whether he'd have gone ahead with the new HQ if he'd known the Brits were going to vote for Brexit.
Would I have done it if I'd known they were going to drop out? I'd have some thoughts about it. Maybe I wouldn't have.
Doubts and fears abound over Brexit. The Bank of England's forecast that 70,000 finance jobs could be lost as business leeches away from London to continental Europe. Many British financiers are worried. Many, but not all.
All of this scaremongering is being proven to be completely wrong.
Pro-Brexit real estate entrepreneur Richard Tice, he says business has been flooding into London.
We've had Deutsche Bank sign a 25 lease for a 500,000 square foot new building. Goldman Sachs, they're building a 1.1 million square foot headquarters in the City of London.
And easy to see why, he says. Just look at this year's two biggest European bank capital raising operations.
Both of them over 10 billion euros each. They both had to be done in the City of London because only the city could provide the sensible low liquid cost of capital that those banks needed. The City of London is and will remain the greatest financial centre in the world.
The boss of Britain's biggest business software group, Sage, is also upbeat about Brexit. Stephen Kelly's just back from a trip around North and South America. He's optimistic about the UK striking free trade deals with countries like the US, Canada and Brazil.
There's huge enthusiasm in these countries for working with Britain on trade. So I think the appetite's there. It's just how quickly the UK government can mobilise itself.
That may be a problem. The cabinet's divided over Brexit. Talks with the EU have stalled. Brexit uncertainty clouds the business horizon. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.